Hey, it's Nick, Jess and Darko. Welcome to the podcast.
We're going to pop over to Chicago.
It'd be my pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
What's this?
Chicago Bulls. Home theme song. Oh, Michael Jordan era.
Michael Jordan.
Oh, I thought this was a backing track for the rap at Ducko's wedding.
Oh! That too.
How did that start? Do you remember? Even though he is quite low to the ground, he's a runner-up world champ. That's all we're saying. But with his heart, no, I'm singing
you
the bloody.
You better not be playing.
I realise I'm singing the bloody couple.
Connor Watson song. Yeah.
What was the rap we did for his wedding?
I'll find that while you tell this story.
Ducko. I remember that's how it ended.
Got me pepped up.
We're in Chicago, Ducko, because yes. You're not going to like this. As Minister for Dogs,
yes.
Talk me through what you think of this.
Okay.
There is a suburb, which I didn't realise you could split a state into suburbs to fine people. People in the suburb of Aurora, which is in Chicago,
okay. They
are now going to cop a fine if their dog barks for more than 15 minutes a day.
No.
What?
What is that?
What is that? How the heck do you get a dog to stop barking?
I don't know. And that's so unfair. You're going to penalise the owner if it barks for more than 15 minutes
that's
per
ridiculous.
Day. I can't get an actual read on the amount of the fine, but between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m, if it is over 15 consecutive minutes, you cop a fine in the post. And there's also going to be a limit in this particular suburb of Aurora how many pets you can have.
Jeez.
So you can only have 4 domestic animals in your home, up to 2 of the same species. What if I like dogs and I want 3 dogs?
Yeah.
What if, God forbid, my dog has puppies? Am I going to get fined until I find a home
What's
for
with
all
this
9
one suburb?
Puppies? I don't know. They don't have a minister for dogs. Is what I'm taking.
And also,
out
like
of this.
I own a big dog who is a barker when people will
she
walk
protects
past.
Her
She's
family.
She's a protector. Mm-hmm. She's a protector. So so Pam will bark and stuff. We obviously go out there and try and everything we can to not make her bark and try and shut the doors and yada yada.
Yep.
But like, you can't help it.
No. You can't be doing that,
especially if you're at work.
And also, if her enemy comes by, the postman on the tricycle.
Yeah.
If that nemesis rolls
around. Is it the
around,
tricycle with that big sort of, not
yep,
cage,
yep,
but the shade?
Yep, the shade thing.
Yeah. And I've seen, like the Pope-mobile for yeah. posties.
Oh, they only go 40 k's an hour. Yeah. I've seen one zoom away from Pam and almost fall over the gutter and nearly
oh,
flip.
No.
You know, that's Pam's enemy. If that goes by, you can't stop her barking, you
no.
know?
And I can see him or her waiting there for 16 minutes just to get their comeuppance.
Well, this is what the issue is. You know, like the littering fine where I can just send your rego because
oh,
and I
yeah.
go, I saw a white car, rego XYZ,
yes.
throwing an apple core out his window. You just get a fine.
What?
Yes, that's the thing. You can dob cars in
you
to get a fine.
You can't take other people's word for it.
In the same regard, they are asking for neighbours and other witnesses to just dob in dogs.
No.
What's your number plate?
I've got it. Change it so often, I don't know. I'll switch the car over.
Hashtag influence a lot.
But yeah,
oh, that's ridiculous.
That?
You
I
can't
think that's
do that.
Pretty ridiculous. It starts in a suburb, but then you get the whole nation.
All of a sudden, everyone brings it in. You know, you can get that thing for dogs, which I think is the cruelest thing ever, where you can clip them so that they can't bark. You know?
Oh, is it like a surgery? Sorry, I thought you were going to say like the shock collar.
No, it's like a surgery. Oh, you know that, but it's like a surgery, so they can't bark anymore. So you almost like take out their vocal.
Oh my God, this is Ursula with the Little Mermaid.
It's horrible. It's so cruel.
That's so cruel.
Yeah, and dogs are going to bark. I mean, they're animals.
Exactly. You know what they're doing? If I were to translate, you know, the dog barking, it's, hey, George, how you going? And then the other dog goes, I'm good. How are you? Yeah, it's good. They're just having a chat.
They're just broing out.
Exactly.
You know, that's ridiculous. As Minister for Dogs, I'm against it.
You're against it. We should write to the Council of Aurora in Chicago.
As Minister for just a regular guy, I'm against it as well.
Thank you. Good. As you're the cat minister.
You're the cat minister.
And small business owner hater.
I wonder if it's the same with meowing.
Yeah.
Haven't heard anything about meowing.
Yeah, let's break down the stigma of the meow.
Exactly. Now, Gilly's fiddling with his computer.
Yeah,
you found our song? Just to circle back and finish this chat
nicely. I found
nicely.
The song lyrics. I'm trying to find the backing track now. So just give us 30 seconds.
But it was
I don't
that,
think this one
it?
Has any. This one
yeah, but it's got a few.
Oh, he did some fandangled edit.
Can you just do it to this anyway?
Can we just do it to that,
yeah.
Gilly?
Because, yeah. I mean, like, it's not going to be perfect. We're in the podcast.
Exactly.
All right, yeah, play the track, man.
Okay, here we go. This is what they did at my wedding.
To introduce Ducko before his own speech.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah,
as though no one knew who he was at his own wedding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's time.
Oh, what time is it, Gilly?
He's coming.
Who's coming, Gilly?
The man, the myth, the miniature monster.
Oh.
1, 2, 3. Oh, hold on. 1, 2, 3.
Hey, everybody, it's Nick and Jess here to introduce Ducko after waiting a year.
Right after this, he's making his speech. As long as Pam and him, I'm still at the beach.
Morgan might be taller in heels.
Or flats.
But he makes sure we're up for it with a tight six-pack. Because if he ever has a spare hour, he's like, I work out.
He's an actor, so his hair's not bad.
His biggest role?
A Crimsafe ad.
Even if he only eats chicken breast.
He's still fancy, because his name is French.
Ducko is the greatest guy, and Morgan and him are now forever. They're brilliant on their own, but they're best together.
If you think you're better, then you can suck it. Because here he comes,
Nick Adam Ducko.
It still fires me up.
That
was so good. And you know what's awesome? I actually got to hear it for the full thing just then properly, because the PA was so bad at our wedding.
You know, there's some things in life and you find out about them and you just go, how can I have never known this? It's not something about an obscure country or an obscure person or an obscure action that you do. Well, this is one of those moments, similar to when I found out that Americans don't have kettles most of the time.
That's right. They microwave.
They microwave.
God, that's weird.
It's so weird. Same in
bizarre.
Italy. Kettle not on the bench.
Really?
Asked for a cup of tea with my, you know, second cousins, whatever. She got water out of the fridge from a bottle, so very chilled, put it in a plastic cup, put it in the microwave for 20 seconds. I went, that's not enough. I don't know how to handle this. It was really like, what?
So like just up to room temperature now.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's one of those moments. So a TikToker, CJ Horton, who's since gone on private after posting this, not too sure why, because it's blown up and it's just like, I didn't want that to happen, has realized that her friends, who are American, have admitted that they came out of the toilet and said, oh, I just hurt my ankle flushing the toilet. She's like, I beg your pardon.
Well, hurt my ankle flushing?
I hurt my ankle flushing the toilet. And they're like, oh, you're pressing the button and then you've stepped on something? And no, because she reaches up, because American toilets have the metal handle on the side of public toilets, reaches up with her foot to flush the toilet every time.
She's footing the toilet flusher.
Is this a COVID thing? Like, we're not touching levers and handles. You know, they installed them here at work. You don't have to open the door anymore. Yeah. There's a little foot lever.
Yeah.
And you can sort of maneuver it and flick the door open that way.
No, it's not, because I'll get to a statistic in a second.
Okay. The stats, man.
But the stat comes from 2013.
2013? Wow. I've been doing this for a decade.
Yeah. Now, it would be tough in Australia, because you would have to have very good foot dexterity to be able to get your leg, first of all, high enough for the thing, and then twist your leg backwards around to be able to push the button down.
I think toe dexterity to put your toe into
but
the button.
Also, yeah. I would also argue boys would have to start wearing pointed shoes. Like, I wear pointed boots, so I'd have almost finger-like pointers to stick into the flush button's not that big.
No.
With your big rounded off sneaks, you're not flushing the button.
I don't mind
that.
Like the portaloos at festivals or wherever you're going and you can flush the foot pedals.
Oh, do the pump.
Yeah, the pump.
Yeah, like, that's a great invention.
I don't
invention.
Mind a foot flush if the foot flushes became a thing.
But not if you have to get it up to your hip height and press down.
Yeah, and this is the thing. The American public toilet system doesn't have the foot flush on the ground. They're not going, I use the foot flush instead of the hand flush. No, it's the hand flush. It's still at like waist height.
Yeah.
They've just got to get their leg up and then flush the toilet with their foot.
Idiots.
I hope you've stretched.
Yeah. Exactly, Ryan.
Yeah.
Here's how'd you doing do your groin injury?
Yeah. I'll flush the toilet, me too. It'd be a common cause of injury
totally.
Over there.
Yeah,
sure.
Imagine if you're an NRL player or something. You're just like, oh man.
Did it again.
Imagine after a couple of bevvies on a night out. Oh my God. You're asking for trouble.
Yeah. The floor's always a bit wet from people spilling their drinks and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Or missing the toilet.
So here's the stat. 2013 said that 64% of Americans use their feet to flush toilets.
Jeez.
And that number could only have skyrocketed after COVID.
Not even just COVID, just people are getting more germophobic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And more disgusting also.
Yeah.
I feel like every public toilet I go into I've got to go in and out of about three if there's a bank of them. Mm. But how are you doing this in here?
Yeah.
How do you live your life, people?
Like in some guys' toilets, it's just like, you must have been aiming away from the toilet for this to have eventuated.
It's the duty of care no one has for public toilets. It's duty of respect. Particularly as a bloke, you're like, whatever.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You go in there, just let it rip.
Just pushing your ass against the cubicle wall and booing that way.
Like, honestly.
How did it get there?
Sometimes with guys' toilets, I wouldn't even be surprised. If there was no toilet in there, people wouldn't even notice. Just going on the floor.
2022, tough year for cricket at the moment.
Oh, mate.
We've lost Rod Marsh, we've lost Shane Warne, and now we've lost, at just 46 years old, Andrew Symonds. Roy, very, very sad time in a single vehicle accident. Seems to have been up near Townsville.
Yeah.
Reports are they're going to do an investigation into the crash, but gone off the embankment of the side of the road and then rolled down and he's passed away.
Yeah, some of the stories coming out, we're seeing him on the media, doing the media rounds this morning, a local guy named Waylon Townsend who heard the crash and rushed to help. It was late in the evening, 11 p.m, and he said he was stuck in there. I tried to pull him out. I started doing CPR and checked his pulse, but didn't get much response right there. And obviously first responders have then come and taken over, but very, very sad. I am sad to say I'm really unfamiliar with his legacy.
Yeah, Nathan.
But talking to, I was in Melbourne talking to my dad and Angus, my husband, over the weekend, and they were just saying the most flamboyant. He just had so much flair
and
style.
Larger than life, too.
Larger than life.
In a period of cricket, I suppose, where players weren't so much like that, and he sort of came in, and he was just a loose unit, loose character. I mean, he'd come in sometimes and he'd bowl spin. Then other times he'd bowl medium pace.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he'd wear a hat when he bowled, and then he wouldn't wear a hat. And then, you know, he was a great fieldsman.
Yep.
And he was aggressive with the bat. Like, he was just a character.
And he was one of those, like, the game has totally changed with the advent of 2020 and shorter form of the game. But he was one of those guys who in both tests and one dayers before 2020 existed, he was one of the very first big, big hitters. Like one of those guys who hit the gym, got big, as opposed to the old kind of either skinny or maybe slightly portly makeup of a cricketer. Well, he was just a strong dude who hit big.
Yeah, he trained with the Broncos as well. And like he could have been a good footy player too. And you always remember...
someone did say this. Yeah. He could have gone either way.
He could have, and he went the cricket path, which was probably unusual for someone of his size and stature at that time. But everyone remembers the famous incident in the one day with the streaker.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could have been at the Gabba, came onto the pitch and was running across fully naked.
Fully nude.
Like a proper streaker.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew Symonds dropped a shot on him.
Well, that streaker, we don't know at the moment if it's a boy or a girl streaker. Well, he could have done some injury to Andrew Symonds there because he seemed to run straight at him and all of a sudden he was on his back.
He got just dropped. Hip and shouldered.
Just dropped. Like straight like ran right
Sam
to the pitch.
Like when Sam Kerr did it to that guy.
Very similar actually. Yeah. Just one step, bang, and then he was absolutely dropped.
Yeah.
But people are remembering him very, very fondly. So Adam Gilchrist, obviously former superstar batsman and wicketkeeper. And I don't think anyone can put it better. Think of your most loyal, fun, loving friend who would do anything for you. That's Roy.
Yeah.
Heartbroken emoji. Ricky Ponting, former captain. If Roy shook your hand, you had his word. That's the sort of bloke he was, and that's why I always wanted him on my team. An extraordinary player, even better human being, and can't believe he's gone. Thoughts are with his family at this time.
Yeah, two young kids.
Yeah, two young kids.
And he had his two dogs, two blue heelers, cattle dogs, in the car, and they both survived the accident. Both the dogs survived, and apparently when the people were trying to come and help Roy and get his body out of the car and move him, one of the dogs was just standing over him growling at anyone coming
protecting
near him.
Daddy.
Trying to protect him.
And also his last text messages has just been revealed and showed that he's been a larrikin his whole life and he was right to the end. The very last text message that he sent was an article, screenshot of an article about Tom Brady's $540 million media deal. And he sent it to his boss in the media and said, mate, we need to talk.
And that's the thing as well. He was a commentator as well. And so was Warney. And they were good mates. And now they're two people who aren't going to be on the cricket summer of commentary anymore.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting time, isn't it?
Change the face of it with the loss of those two legends.
Yeah. So anyway, rest in peace, mate.
Boys, I had a bit of a embarrassing experience, and it was a real lesson for me. You know, the whole think before you speak, think before you react. Just take a hot second and remember how old you are. I forgot how old I was. I mean, my birthday was over a month ago now. Mm. I turned 31. But in my brain, I'm still like 29.
Yeah.
I didn't have like a huge 30th or anything like that. I didn't do that milestone thing, hide out a reception center. So maybe in my brain, I don't have that internal memory of like a big shindig.
I mean, yeah. I think everyone was probably still fatigued from your wedding the week before your 30th, which is why you didn't
have
that.
Do you know what? My husband's listening at the moment. He's probably rolling his eyes. He's probably spat out his coffee. Didn't have a big 30th. It was the recovery wedding.
Yeah.
But like it was the recovery slash birthday. It wasn't like all focused on my birthday.
Yeah, so you know? Have a party. Like
I still remember my dad's 40th because they hired out this whole Woggy reception centre. Yeah. It was a big shindig.
I agree. Like, yeah, I didn't have a 30th for me because it was lockdown.
Exactly.
So I get what you're saying.
But you remember your 21st, don't you?
Yes.
Because it's a big hullabaloo.
Yeah.
It's a big thing.
Yeah.
So maybe it's because I don't have that. But you know how I went on that digital detox and deleted all the socials?
Mm-hmm.
Then I realised, hang on, I can make a few extra bucks because of the gram. So I've gone back on and started to do a couple of, you know, influencer deals or whatever. And there's this app you can go on. And it can, it basically pitches ideas, campaigns for you as a little micro influence. And you can say, yes, mayonnaise people, I can do that for you. Here's my fee, whatever.
Yeah.
And I recently did one for some app. I don't know. It's like a news app. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's an easy one. Cause I can say, hey, I use this news app actually for the radio show. Mm. This is perfect. So submitted an idea and wrote a little essay, what my caption would be. And they rejected me.
Oh,
excuse me. How dare you? I thought this was really good. Staged the picture and everything. This is what I could do for you, team. Why don't you like me? Rejected me based on I did not meet age criteria.
Oh.
And I start punching back an email. I said, excuse me. Yes, I do. How dare you? And then I realized the age criteria was 18 to 30.
Oh.
They want 18 to 30 year olds. I am 31.
Oh.
And I was about to fight this organization. Lucky I didn't hit send, but I had it typed out, Gilly.
Oh, mate. I mean, I feel
And that's
you.
When you're showing your age.
That's
having,
when you're
having an angry email typed out.
This is why they don't want me, yeah. Because I'm an angry old lady already.
Yeah.
I'm not up with the kids. I shouldn't be using the same apps as the kids and trying to say I can be, you know, the face of the app. It's very embarrassing.
The next level is to have macros for your complaint letters. So you just type in a letter and then the paragraph pops up for you.
Okay.
That's
Could you
very
set that
useful.
Up for me?
I can set that up for you. No
Thank
problems.
Thank you. I'm not tech savvy in my old age.
No, I do often think that I'm already 40.
Oh, you're going the other way.
Are you not 40?
I shall be in August.
Oh, right.
But
I
also,
said we're not helping that scenario there.
But also I vividly remember my 30th birthday, the actual day, because I got several emails from various things like Young Theatre Goers Society or something like that. And they'll be like, you're no longer a member of us. It only goes up to 30. It's like, happy birthday. Just so you know, we're an organisation that goes 18 to 30. So thanks so much. Bye.
What's with the 18 to 30 bracket?
Well, as the baby of the team, I'm still in all those brackets.
I still
have the cutoff. I still get, I'm entering these things. I'm getting emails. I'm still getting my coupons.
How'd you stuff the proposal?
Oh.
A member of the Hit family has told us a tale of his proposal that didn't quite go to plan. That's exactly what we're after. So he was planning to propose to his girlfriend at the restaurant they had their first date in.
Lovely.
Tried and tested, act, but it's romantic nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
Had it all planned out, had the ring in his pocket, it was all going to go well, had the speech in his head,
yep.
Going to do it around dessert, it'll be beautiful. Unfortunately, nowadays when you book online, it has that little notes section. And sometimes it asks, are you celebrating anything? Sometimes there's check boxes. Is it a birthday? Is it an anniversary?
Yeah.
Because obviously maybe the waitstaff want to know. Maybe you get a free glass of champagne. I always tick it's an anniversary. Just hoping for a little free dessert or a free champagne. Always do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, he wrote, just not thinking, engagement, because I'm going to do it at the restaurant. So that's what we're going to be celebrating. Unfortunately, though, when they went to check in, it's like, hey, we've got a table for two under James. They went, oh, you're celebrating your engagement. Congratulations. Because it obviously came up in the booking that that's what they were celebrating. So the girlfriend's there like, huh? What's this? Just a random Saturday romantic dinner, I thought. And he's going, obviously, backpedaling, trying to work hard. She obviously knows what's up.
Yeah, it must
so
be the wrong table.
Meal, the whole meal is very... When are you going to do it? When are you going to do it?
That would just ruin it so much. You'd be so nervous. I don't
exactly.
know. I think I'd pull out if I was him. I wouldn't do it then and there.
Well, he eventually did it. And it was just like, well, here you go.
Yeah.
She just wouldn't stop hassling. They got their drinks comped at the end because the manager came over being like, we're so sorry. We've obviously ruined
that's
arguably
them.
The most important night of your life up until this moment.
Yeah.
So we're really sorry.
Yeah. So you got to play it really careful if you're the wait staff.
Yeah.
Like we went to Nagisa after our engagement here. And even they came up really coyly because I dropped off a bottle of nice champagne earlier that day so they could serve
it
to us.
Yes.
And I said, can you have it on the table? I called them beforehand, we're on our way and all this kind of stuff. And even then, they were so good. They came up with a bottle of champagne and they were like, are we...
Do we talk about it?
And I was just like, yes. And Georgia showed a ring. They're like, congratulations. Here we go.
Jake's in Mount Hutton on 131060. Jake, how'd you stuff up the proposal, mate?
I was a pre-proposal, actually. I haven't done it yet, but I won a competition where I got to design a ring and got half price off it.
Oh, nice.
And I put into the competition like 2 months before I got this text message. I thought it was a scam, so I took a screenshot and sent it through to my partner. I was like, look at this. And she goes, I think that's the real number. So I gave him a call and they were like, oh, yeah, congratulations, you won second prize. Yeah, you're going to keep it a surprise. And I was like, I thought this was a scam. I've already told them this is about it.
Oh, no. Workshop this, if this was real or not.
Yeah, and then they said to me, oh, what we'll do is we'll give you a ring for free as kind of, you know, a fake one until the real one gets all made up and everything.
Like a placeholder.
Yeah, like a placeholder. So I took my daughter with me to design it and everything, and she was only 2 or 3 at the time. We designed it, everything. Went home. I went to the bathroom and come out, and the box is sitting on the table open. And the temporary ring's missing, and my daughter had grabbed it out and ran it in and was like, Mum, look what Daddy got you.
Oh, no.
Oh, but it's the fake ring. She's going, oh, I didn't really fork out very much.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Jake.
Oh, Jake. There you go.
I said, there's a proper one coming sometimes. So.
There you go.
Yeah, it just takes all the spontaneity out of it, doesn't it? It ruins it. Yeah.
Take the air out of the tyres. So.
Okay. Trending right now at hits.com.au.
I'm going to quickly duck off to Cornwall, please, Ducko, in the UK. Thank you very much. This is a lesson out of the tiny town of Cornwall.
Mm-hmm.
David and Goliath.
Named after a wall made entirely out of corn cobs.
Absolutely. We'll fact check that later.
Don't.
This is a great story about David and Goliath, all right? Yep. You might feel little, you might feel insignificant, but doesn't matter who your opponent is, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You can take them down with just a bit of smarts and good humour, okay? Yep. There is a pub in Cornwall. It's run by a guy named Mark, okay? Mark gets a letter in the post from Vogue magazine. Okay, the publishing house that looks after Vogue, worth millions and millions of dollars. This company, obviously a huge reach worldwide, very powerful organization.
Yeah.
And they say, excuse me, your pub is using our name. Your pub is using our name, okay? And we are going to sue you because people are going to think you've got something to do with Vogue magazine and that is inappropriate.
Is the pub called Vogue?
Well, the pub is called, bear with me, the Star Inn at Vogue. And now Mark has taken the time to be like, I'm not scared of you, big multi-million publishing corporation. Because if you, any of your staff, this is in his letter, if any of your staff had taken the time to investigate the pub, you would have found that our town in the suburb of Cornwall is called Vogue. So it's the Star Inn at Vogue. It'd be like saying the Star Inn at Charlestown.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then Charlestown magazine comes after you.
Exactly. Yeah. If a member of your staff had taken any time to investigate, they would have discovered that our company, the Star Inn, is in the small village of Vogue near St. Day in Cornwall. That's right. Vogue is the name of our village, which has actually been in existence for over 200 years.
Yeah.
And based on the letter they sent in their lawsuit, they were trying to say, we were formed in 1916. We're a 106-year-old brand, yada, yada, yada. He's like, yeah, we've been here a lot longer than you and we've had the name Vogue a lot longer
than
you.
Why is Vogue picking fights with a little pub in Cornwall?
I don't know.
What?
Are they not big enough?
And I'm sorry, if you were wanting to get the fashion magazine Vogue and you Googled it and somehow the Star Inn at Vogue pub came up and you got those two things confused and gave Mark Graham your money instead of Anna Wintour, I think we've got bigger problems.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Geez, it's a bit to travel for a magazine, but worth it.
I'll be there.
Right now. Guys, Eurovision. Again, we're about to give out spoilers. If you're going to watch the 7:30 broadcast tonight or if you've taped it from 5 a.m. this morning, spoiler alert. Okay, you've had time to turn off. Sheldon Riley, the Australian.
And just remind us who that is.
He was third on, I'm going to say, The Voice.
Yes, okay.
Yes, oh, I've got the thumbs up from producer Snooze.
Great set of pipes.
Yes, great set of pipes. Amazing
can
voice.
Sing.
Sheldon has placed 15th overall with 125 points for his emotional performance of Not the Same. Well done. First time we've made the finals. Really well done. And not made the top 10, but whatever.
It's fine. Dami M got a second that time.
Dami Army.
You know, last year I don't think we even passed the semi. So,
yeah.
Well done, Sheldon.
Yeah, yes. That's it.
But the winner by 192 points with a total of 631, Ukraine.
Hey.
Now, the Kalush Orchestra's performance of Stefania about the lead singer's mother. Here is a bit of the song. Infuses a bit of traditional folk like this and then just breaks into a bit of rap.
It's usually big power ballads at Eurovision. This is something different.
Yeah. Anyway, they've won by 192 points, largely because they got 192 from the jury, which was there. And then they got 439 votes from audience televotes, which is like a group of people that get to vote. And good on them because the group, the Kalush Orchestra, all of the members win Eurovision and now they're going back to the front line.
Really?
Yes. So they're all going back to fight for their own country.
And I did see President Zelensky saying, because the winner of Eurovision becomes the host country. Like Italy won last year, so that's why they hosted this year. And Zelensky has come out saying, we will host it next year.
Yeah.
We will be able to do it. Yeah. So that really strong Ukrainian power stance.
Yeah. Also, I don't know how much weight there is to it, but have you guys heard the rumors of blood cancer in Vladimir Putin?
Yes, I did see an article on that yesterday. I wonder how true that was.
A lot of people speculating over that. Apparently one of the oligarchs have come out and spread this rumor around. Don't know how much weight there is to it, but I don't know if that's good or bad, if he's going to go going down.
You don't want to wish death upon anyone, but I do want to wish it upon him.
Yes.
See what happens next. My gosh.
Yes. Big Brother, of course, it's back on our screens. Very, very exciting because we've got the new people in it. But then we've got our old fan favourites come back.
Those names that you remember from the early noughties even. Yep. You go, oh my God, what have they been up to? They're back in the house.
Yeah. Remember when they put those twins in the house and they only had one of them in there? Ah. Classic time.
Not the Logan twins.
One of those creepers gets around Newcastle a little bit. Anyway.
It's fantastic, gentlemen. Anyway, we turn our attention to Channel 7.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Reggie Bird,
yep.
who has come back from winning the 2003 iteration of
first
the program.
First female.
And third season of the whole thing.
Yeah. The great seasons.
Exactly. Reggie joins us from the Gold Coast. Hey, Reg.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, thank you. I mean, obviously, how is it watching yourself back? You must be like, I did this 20 years ago. How is it seeing yourself in this new light, going back into the house? How much has changed?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's really bizarre watching it back. It's weird. But I still haven't watched my season from 2003. I've only watched 4 days, so... Yeah, but it's really it's wonderful to be back. I'm so glad I got the opportunity to do this all over again.
Now, I'm really curious because a lot of people are applying for a lot of reality shows these days. Back in the Big Brother days, that was really about it. So what did you put in your application back in 2002, 2003 to get yourself over the line for the first time you went in?
I applied for Big Brother 2002. Series, and I made it through to the auditions, and when I got there I had a bloody migraine and I'm like, oh, I just don't want to be here. So I applied again for 2003, and that was doing a 2-minute video, you know, on the old VHS
get
the camcorder out.
I sent that in, and I remember the online questions were just insane. There were just hundreds of questions. And, yeah, that was the way that it was done back in those days.
Yeah. Did you walk into the house this time round and go, yeah, I'm so glad I did this? Or did you walk in and go, why am I back here?
No, definitely the minute I stepped foot back in there, I'm like, wow, I can't believe I'm here again doing this. And I was just absolutely thrilled to be back in there again, but it's definitely changed.
Yeah. Do you miss it? So different in terms of even how they show it now, because obviously all our attention spans are so short these days. We can't watch the house 24/7 coverage like when you were on it and follow individual journeys as much. But do you like miss like the live voting element, kind of all that stuff?
Oh, God, yeah. I miss the live shows. I miss how, I miss all those conversations. I miss everyone, you know, the public getting to know people.
Yeah.
Because this is really super fast. So I really miss all that live bit and uncutting up late and all that, you know.
The up late with the greyest.
So much analysis and breakdown.
And I think that's how we fell in love with Reggie back in 03, wasn't it, Reggie? Because you had more time to get to know people, whereas now you're watching it. And if you don't watch for maybe one night, if you miss it, you're like, I can't, because they've crammed so much in. So it is a really different viewing experience, but I can imagine being a contestant, it's the same,
Well, what's been the biggest change in the house, Reggie?
All these challenges. crazy.
Do you enjoy them?
Oh, man, it's very hard, super hard, but, it was, you know, the biggest challenge I think I had in my day was sliding down a fireman's pole, and that was it, you know, like, this time you just You're fighting for your life to stay in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the strategic of it all, it's all strat chat.
I got to say, Reggie, my mum is listening right now. My mum was a massive early days Big Brother fan. We all were. She loved you, right? And you probably don't remember this, but we had this thing in our house called the cup of warm milk. And basically from your day, remember it was Saxon, I think, in your season. And Saxon was really sad about something. And you, because you're so, you know, true blue Aussie, you said something stupid like, Saxon, because he was like upset. I think someone had left the house. You're like, would you like a cup of warm milk or something, Saxon? And Mum and I just found it so funny. So now all the time when something's going wrong, I'm like, would you like a cup of warm milk or something?
Oh, that was when Joe left, because he was in love with Joe.
Yes, So now Reggie, now we've got the Reggie warm milk. So every time someone's down, we're like, would you like a cup of warm milk to fix it?
A cup of warm milk. Goodness. Let's go.
Oh, well, Reggie, we're loving you. All the Big Brother fans from 03 as well, loving you too. You can vote for them as well. That's coming up soon. But Big Brother continues tonight on 7:30 and 7 plus. Thanks for joining us, Reggie. Good to chat.
Thank you so much. Hope you guys are enjoying the show. Thank you.
Thanks, Reggie.
Cheers, Reggie. See ya. Your chance at Alpha Bucks coming up next. Hey, just quickly now, I saw an article over the weekend and I just thought, geez, this is not good. We've got to chat about this because it's been ruled now that calling men bald. Gilly, you're obviously a gentleman who is losing his hair.
Yeah. My five head's turning into a six head.
Yeah, and you probably will go bald, within the next...
decade, I'd say.
4 to 6 months.
Yeah. I mean, the way he loses hair on this desk, if you peer over, Ducko, you can see he thinks he cleans it all, and yet there are like 15 strays.
Yeah.
They just, poke out from other areas. Yes. So, it's carpeted.
And more prevalent in men than women, going bald.
Yeah.
Just genetically, that's how it is. Now it's come out after a case over in the UK has ruled that calling men bald is sexual harassment.
What?
Because it's more prevalent in males than females. So basically, this guy's suing his boss. This just screams of someone who hated his boss. His boss would always call him Baldy. Yeah, Baldy, like a bit of bants, you know.
Sexual harassment.
Hey, Baldo, get over here. Print Baldo. This for me.
Yeah, big bad bald man. You know those ads you see on TV where it's like, oh, I saw myself in the mirror, or all my friends were paying me out, and then I realized I needed the hair treatment or whatever.
Yeah.
You see all that, whatever that's for. Supposedly, sexual harassment. The guy's called Tony Finn. His boss kept calling him bald. And as part of the Equality Act from 2010, because it's targeted at his sex, as it's more prevalent in males, they've deemed it sexual harassment, and he won the case.
Is that how they've interpreted the sexual part of that?
I
would say that's bullying.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we already have
workplace
laws
bullying.
And very strict things around that. Now they're dipping into sexual harassment based on his gender.
And this just opens the floodgates for so many bad things. Like, I'm not bald, so I can't, I mean, maybe I've got no skin in the game, but at the same time, come on.
This is
you've got no scalp in the game.
Yeah. As the person whose scalp is, fast
What does
appearing.
Otis say to you when he looks down, when you've got him on your shoulders? He used to say
something.
Why do you
have a hole in your hair? Why do you have holes in your hair?
Are we suing Otis?
We're suing him for sexual harassment.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of things. As the balding representative of this team, I think, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But also, how much does this make other people feel? This is quite serious. How does the chick who has had somebody go, hey, nice tits, love, and she'll be like, oh my God, I've been sexually harassed, and the guy next to her going, me too.
Well, it's funny you're saying that, Gilly.
Tom Finn just called me bald.
It's funny.
She's like, what? No, these two things are not the same.
They're not on equal level.
Yeah.
In this case, it says it infringes human rights, and it's like commenting the size of a woman's breasts. Calling someone's bald is like commenting the size of women's breasts.
It's not.
That's what a judge has
ruled
in the UK.
Yeah, and that's what's happened, and he's won the case. Calling someone bald. I had a mate on the weekend who was here for my play, and he's going bald as well, like you, but a lot worse. Mm. He's got really jet black hair. He actually literally gets a permanent marker, a black permanent marker, and colours in his hair. And he doesn't think we'll notice.
I used to do this when I had a tear in my stockings, and you just colour in that bit of your thigh.
That works.
Your skin.
You colour in the skin.
Like Batman's eyes.
Exactly. Just colour in the skin and then you hope the stockings don't move. And they're obviously skin tight, so they don't usually can get away with that.
Yeah.
But colouring
in... the back of his ball patch on his head. And then when he sweats, it leaks and it goes. And everyone's like, and you can see sort of
Rudy Giuliani, remember that?
Exactly.
When he was melting.
Yeah.
Wait, so is it known or he thinks you don't know?
He thinks we don't know, but we all know. And on the weekend, we're all like...
Is he still here?
No, he's gone. On the weekend, we're like, oh, he really needs to get that Nico out and just get that permanent marker out and just colour in the back again.
So do you go through his...
give him a little touch up.
You go through his little toiletries bag, toothbrush, toothpaste.
Sharpie.
Why do you have 7 Sharpies in here?
What are you? I forgot to pack my Sharpie. Ducko, have you got a Sharpie? I've only got blue.
I'll take it. If we go heavy enough, it'll go dark. And all wrapped up with the play team.
That's right. Your final weekend.
Yes. Puffs, the Harry Potter spoof parody. Thank you to everyone who came out and saw the, I think we did 8 sold out shows over the last fortnight. Thanks to everyone who came out and watched it and supported it. It was such a good experience.
Mm.
I very much enjoyed, as I said, was getting back onto the stage for the first time in 10 years. There was a bit of pressure being like, you know, talking about it on the radio, inviting people, inviting listeners like our HIT family members, and being like, okay, how are we going to go? How are we going to actually perform?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is nerve-wracking for anybody, particularly people you know. I would prefer to perform in front of 10,000 people I don't know than my family.
Yes.
I did it in front of you guys, or I work people, did it in front of both my family and Morgan's family, and then on Saturday night just gone the closer. 20 of my mates came.
Unbelievable.
Who are not theatre folk.
But also, like, what support, Gilly? I thought that was amazing. Seeing your pics and you saying there was 20 people coming. I know Morgan saying she booked dinner beforehand for 20. That must have been really heartwarming for you.
I actually had
the warm and fuzzies.
I had a feeling that I've never experienced before. Like, it was a rush of adrenaline and a rush of, like, you know, excitement and nerves. But before I went up there, I was like, I'm about to perform in front of a solid crowd, but 20 of my best friends who are here. And it was just a different feeling. Like, I was like, take it all in, because this is something you don't get every day. And this is so special.
Yep.
And of course, they were super loud and vocal and they were getting around the play. But it was just such a special moment. Performing in front of them.
Yes, absolutely.
Something I feel like I'll never get back again. And it all went really well. And they all really loved it. We got a standing ovation on our closing night, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
From the crowd, which was great.
And it's particularly nerve-wracking. I know you're talking about your mates here specifically, but your workmates doing something outside of what your work entails.
Yes.
I think it's particularly nerve-wracking because they're like, okay, you can do radio, but... You're doing this other thing that could potentially be quite embarrassing if you're not good at it.
Yeah.
Can you actually act?
Yeah.
And it was, like I said, to see Newcastle Theatre, which has struggled a bit over the last couple of years, particularly with the pandemic, to see it have sold out shows, it's pretty unheard of, particularly this level of theatre in Newcastle, to have this many sold out shows. So a big thank you to everyone who came. There was some absolute jive turkey in the paper who wrote some average review. Because he obviously went into the play thinking it was going to be, you know, a heavy play and Shakespeare and, you know, it's like, mate, it's popcorn theatre. It's a spoof parody.
It's fun. Pardon us for living through 2 years of horrible history.
Yeah.
We're trying to have a laugh and have some fun.
It's literally everyone who's walked out has loved that show every second of it. And has like, oh my God, you made me smile. You made me laugh.
Yes,
it was so fun.
And forget.
We're sending up characters. Like, I don't know if you can go too over the top, but there was just some absolute doucher in the paper who wrote some just bitter review about how, why is it, you know, like, oh, just crap. Just, you read that stuff and you go, that guy's
sorry to hear that.
You got no personality. Oh, I don't care about bad reviews, but it was just more like, don't rain on the theatre parade when everyone's coming and enjoying it.
Absolutely.
Who are you to sit there? It's popcorn theatre. It's like the Marvel of theatre. You know, you don't go to Marvel movies expecting Academy Awards.
Yeah. I expect entertainment.
You expect entertainment.
Full stop.
And I think the sellout, for one, and also everyone's reactions and absolutely loving it, having a great time and laughing. I had heaps of people message me on Instagram. People were emailing. Listeners came, friends, whoever it was. Everyone really, really enjoyed it. Obviously, you're not going there knowing you're going to win a thespian award or anything like that. It's just a good time.
Absolutely.
It's just a bit of fun. But one thing did actually happen in the kid-friendly version of the matinee.
Uh-huh.
That happened to me on the weekend, just gone. I had this part when I'm Baldy, and you know, when I was playing Lord Voldemort, I was wearing a kimono.
Yes.
Right, a very lovely kimono.
It was delicious.
Did you get to keep that?
I wish
you looked good in that, and you were vibing it.
Mate. Silky,
It looked like nice to the touch.
It did look nice to the touch.
It felt good on the skin.
Yeah.
I had this part where I have to lift up one of their death buddies off the stage and carry them off. And as I lifted them up, I was wearing budgie smugglers underneath my kimono, nothing else. The kimono split open.
Excellent.
And I was lifting this person up and leaning back. And as I was leaning back, I think my whole meat and veg was just there.
This is the kid-friendly
show.
Matinee show.
Yeah. My whole meat and veg was just there because it got a large laugh. a larger laugh than normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, like, oh no, my little ducko sitting out, ready for everyone, just sitting there watching me.
Mm-hmm.
And it got the reaction. No, not fully
not
out.
Not out.
No, but like in Budgie Smugglers on stage.
Under a kimono.
You feel naked.
As the evil Lord Voldemort. Yeah,
because it was in that same show that I came out in the bathtub in my budgies and one of the girls, like the little kids in the front rows, the kid version, literally covered her eyes.
Clutching her pearl necklace.
Oh, how dare you, in the phantom. But no, it was
did
such
that kid go on to write the review? Is that
probably their dad. No, it was such a great experience. Big shout out to a very popular theatre company. All the cast were so talented, so fun. I really loved it. Got the theatre bug again. So, you know, I think we'll do a bit of more.
Okay.
Watch
very
this
good.
Space. Yeah.
Very good.
Yes. But thank you to everyone coming, including you
too.
No,
good on you. It was truly wonderful.
Yeah, it was so much
Congratulations.
Fun. I want you to be honest here, Hit Family, and give us a call on 13 10 60 answering this question. What should you be able to do by now that you can't do? Because we've seen a viral moment. There are so many of them in the Kardashian show where Kendall Jenner is sitting with mum Kris and just at the kitchen and she wants to make herself a sandwich. It's that simple.
She's a little hungry.
She's a little bit hungry. Now, I want to play the audio of this. She's sitting at a bench. There is a cucumber in front of her and all she's got to do is cut the cucumber. Here's how she goes.
Do you want the chef to make you a snack?
I'm making it myself. Just got to chop up some cucumber. It's pretty easy.
You go, girl. Be careful. There you go.
Don't cucumbers have seeds?
Okay, now, what proceeds from there is she is trying to cut the cucumber with her right hand, but the cut bit is on the left. So she kind of dislocates her wrist, swapping her hands over and holding
she
it with her left
hand. She must be double
jointed.
Yeah. Swapping it over. So the left hand is holding it on the right hand side.
Crossing her body.
Crossing her body. And the knife is on her left hand side, cutting it with her right hand.
We'll put the vision on Nick Jesducco now. If you haven't kept up with the Kardashians, you can just see that clip there. I must say, for me, the takeout is Kris Jenner's support.
You're cutting a cucumber?
I love that. We can call the chef.
Yeah.
Like, we pay probably an exorbitant amount of money to have a private chef.
Yeah. To be fair to Kendall's.
Cut your cucumber.
If you had a chef at home and you'd grown up that rich and famous, like, would you ever really cut a cucumber?
Probably not. I mean, surely she's feeling that this isn't comfortable,
but
what else does she know?
Yeah.
Yes.
What other life does she know?
Now, she could have rotated the cucumber or swapped hands with a knife. Neither or.
Yep.
But if you've never cut a cucumber, who knows that these are the sorts of options available to you?
Yeah. It looks like a continental. It's a long boy.
Oh, yeah. It could be Lebanese.
Oh, it looked long to me.
Yeah, it did look long.
Because her arm was so far extended to hold the other end. I was like, that's a long cucumber there.
We are asking a 13, 10, 60, what should you be able to do by now?
How old is Kendall?
26.
26. You should be able to cut a cucumber.
Yeah. Cucumber's the easiest to cut up.
I agree. It's a good starting cucumber. You know, once you get to carrot territory, you've got a bit more force.
Oh, geez. You're peeling it.
Exactly. They're a thicker boy.
But I think if I was to put myself into the ring here, I think I should be able to order Thai food by now on the phone.
So you are 42.
39.
Yeah.
And you don't know what?
I get overwhelmed by the menu because there's often way too much stuff on a Thai menu.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what I like. I hear all these descriptions and quite often there's whole sections which are really similar.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know, and I just have to go, Georgette, can you please call? I don't know what I want, and she does.
There's three options. Pad C, yellow curry, and mushroom beef.
Yeah, that's I'm going to confirm that. Maybe a little bit of rice, really universal.
Coconut rice, if
coconut
you will.
Rice. Oh, coconut rice.
That's all you do. You hit those three, you never steer out.
I shouldn't judge you, though, Gilly. I am 31, and I went out for dinner the other night with a girlfriend, and she said, oh, I'm a little bit tight on cash. I'm only going to have one drink or so with our meal. And I was like, why? What's up? She goes, oh, I had to pay rates. So I'm a bit short on cash. I said, what does that mean? Rates.
Rates. Council rates.
Rates, yeah.
Yeah, council rates.
Council rates, yeah.
You didn't know.
Do you know what rates are?
I don't know what's going on.
I was like, oh no, everyone's gone quiet. It's a bill you get.
Yes.
Quarterly.
Yeah.
She was saying.
Mailing it.
Big bill. She is a homeowner.
Oh, if you own a home.
That's the thing. Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
I've gone from renting to mooching off my husband. So I've never had to deal with a rate.
No.
It's a bill you get for, existing.
Talk about rate. Like, I can't order Thai food, so I can't throw stones here.
I'll tell you what, Gilly, my dad's a financial advisor, but money chat, bills.
Finances.
That starts talking around the dinner table and my mind goes to a beach in Hawaii. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Can I nominate you for one, Jess, of what you should be able to do by now?
I just nominated myself for one.
No,
you stay in your lane.
You should be able to tell your left and rights. You can't do that. And I'm dumbfounded by that.
And I came out strong with the rate here because I thought there'll be people out there who don't know rates. Renters like me, like me.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've come in with the left and right.
I mean,
I struggle with an analog clock too. That's not
good. Oh, yeah, no, so do I. Okay, so, you know what I struggle with? Ironing button-up shirts, can't do it. Folding washing. I can't fold washing.
You might be able to tell your left or right, but I can iron the hell out of a shirt.
I can't do it.
I'll teach you the retail fold.
I can't do that. I can't fold.
Yeah, okay. But do you know what? You'll do it because you've got to take your shirt off for me to show you, and we'll be stoked to do that.
It's off. So 13, 10, 60. What should you be able to do by now? Give us a call.
We want your age, if you're willing.
Yeah.
And what you should be able to do by
now. Or if you just want to pile onto Jess. You want to nominate Jess for something.
No, what are rates? It's some BS made up crap, all right? If you don't know what rates are, join in.
Nico in Tea Gardens. If you don't mind, state your age. And what should you be able to do by now?
Right, I'm 20 and one would think that I would be able to nail a kebab or a paddle pop stick by now. But it's a no from me. It freaks me out. I cannot do the texture of the bamboo or wood.
Bro,
no way.
I feel this so hard. You remember the old school doctors, you know, like just the wooden thing in your mouth, you can't handle it.
Oh, yuck.
Yes.
Oh, like a wooden paddle pop stick.
Like a wooden paddle pop. Remember when the doctors used to, like,
tongue depressors.
Depressor. Yeah, that feeling on your tongue.
Yeah, yeah.
Should be able to handle it by now, all the paddle pops we've consumed.
Yeah.
I'm the same.
Oh, now you're giving me tingles.
Gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
Yes. Like your tongue's going to get a splinter.
Do you? Don't you get the heebie-jeebies from a paddle pop stick?
A paddle pop stick or a kebab stick in Nico's case.
Let's give Nico a sympathy double, symphony double pass.
Not a sympathy double.
No, mate, the symphony, the global dance hits reimagined by the full orchestra and special guests, hitting Entertainment Centre in July. All yours, big fella.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for getting involved, Nico. Thanks good luck with those paddle pop sticks.
Yeah, producer Alex, what can't you do? You're useless at things.
Okay, I can at least print all your stuff.
Touché.
That is in your job description. I'm joking.
I can't use a can opener.
Oh, wow.
Hey, you know what? That is tough. Like, I can.
Who's making cans without the pulley ring bit?
The kidney beans. Not that I eat them often. Well, now I don't because they don't give the opening.
I can imagine you taking a knife to the can opener and just trying to shove the knife
in. Yeah.
There might be a few scars on my thumbs that would explain that.
Yes.
Yeah, can openers are. They're ruthless.
Stupid invention.
Yeah. I don't want to make you feel bad, Alex, but about a year ago, I taught Otis how to do that.
Bring a can in.
Bring Otis in to teach producers news. Yeah,
he's 4 and a half now. Anyway, we'll let that.
He can't even run 100 metres without falling over, so.
So who has egg on their face with that statement? Hit
106.9, 10K Alphabuzz. Yes, how good this 10K be for a Monday? You know how it works. You've got 30 seconds to answer 10 questions, all starting with the same letter. Have to take your first answer. You can't use the same one twice, and if you're unsure of the question, just say pass. We come back if there's time. Stepping up today from East Maitland, we've got Brody. Hello, Brody.
G'day, how you going?
Excellent, Brodes. What are we spending 10 big ones on?
I told the lady that I'd spend it on a birthday trip to Queensland because I missed out watching my NRL team play on my birthday last year.
Your team isn't the Knights, Brodes.
No, it's the Seagulls.
Oh, manly.
You said my team. I went, she ain't a night.
No, definitely.
What else did you tell that lady? Yeah.
Young lady.
Was that
young
lady? Yeah.
Well, the rest of it, because I'm sure 10 grand's not going to go all on a trip, will go towards my wedding.
Oh, very good, Brody.
That is so expensive.
Weddings are so expensive.
Oh, they really are these days.
Oh, they add up. Mm.
10 grand, even minus a little cheeky trip somewhere, that'll go a long way.
Yeah.
You can spend 10 grand on the flowers if you want, bro.
Think of the bonbonnieres you could do. Oh, all the sugared almonds in the world.
Oh, it's so worth spending 10 grand things that die.
Sugared almonds, you eat them. They're going to die.
You're talking about
flowers. Sugared almonds.
You could have an all-you-could-eat sugared almond bar.
Oh, my God. All the different colours. It'd be a whole thing. People would be talking about that, bros. Anyway, your letter is P.
Ooh.
P for Pacolbin. Okay. Brody.
Okay, she's in the zone.
She's there.
I'm done.
All right, get it together, girl.
Don't be nervous.
Get it together.
I'm shaking right now.
All right, come on. Be like the Trebojevic brothers, you know?
Oh, I'll try and zoom through it. Let's go.
Are they Sea Eagles people?
Yeah.
Very good. Brody, it's P.
P.
Your time will start after the first question, starting with the letter P. We need you to name a word ending in T. A celebrity chef. A city.
Paris.
A song.
Purple Rain.
A type of beer.
Peroni.
A position of leadership.
Prime Minister.
A Netflix series. A flower.
Poppy.
A ball sport. A car brand. I didn't catch ball sport.
No, did you say anything for ball sport, Brody?
It's a bad phone line, too.
It is. I don't know if you dropped out or if we missed it.
You did really well. You got at least 7. So well done.
Oh, my God. Was the car brand the last one?
Car brand was the last one, yes.
Okay, because I knew that one.
I'm so sorry.
You've also got a double pass to a gin blending class. Customise your own gin at Earp Gin Blending Classes. We've done this and it's just marvellous.
Yes, and
it's
awesome. You can get little mini ones. Nice bonbonieri.
Beautiful. Now, to take you through a Netflix series, we would have to look up if it was a make or break, whether there was a series called Pass, but otherwise, Pretty Little Liars, Peaky Blinders, Prison Break, ball sport, ping pong, polo, pool, and a car brand you probably would have had, but Porsche, Peugeot.
Peugeot with that lion man walking around.
Unlucky, Brody. Thanks for playing, though.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brody. Happy wedding.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Good luck with it all.